Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. First on the docket, Lori Vallow's attorney is at it again. And our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you please hit that subscribe button and then hit that little bell over there in the corner so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, today is Tuesday, and what do we do on Tuesday? That's right, our Tuesday Night Live. Please tune in at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll be on both Facebook as well as YouTube. And then immediately following that, we have our Patreon show for our Patreon aficionados. And guess what? We have a big show planned for the Patreons tonight. First, we're going to have a death penalty mitigation expert explaining what they do, how they do their job, and why do they do it. And second, we'll be talking about the theories that have been spread around the internet regarding Chris Watts and why they're not going anywhere. So please join us for our Patreon right after our live show this evening. All right, first on the docket, Mark Means, Lori Vallow's attorney, is at it again. Mark Means has never tried a felony criminal case to trial. Mr. Means has filed motions wanting a bond reduction because he thought that a phone call was recorded. The remedy for that is that the call could not be used. That would be it if it was ever admitted in court because it would be attorney-client privilege. Nowhere have I ever seen that that would warrant a bond reduction. And guess what? The court found that was not the applicable remedy and the bond reduction was denied. Then Mr. Means tried to disqualify Mr. Wood, the prosecutor, for a conversation pre-interview with a witness explaining what generally was going on. Mr. Means made allegations over the top that this was witness intimidation. This was witness tampering. It was nonsense. I said it was nonsense. The court held a hearing on it because it had such serious ramifications regarding literally someone's ability and license to practice law. The court found Mark Means' allegations were nonsense. Now guess what? Mark Means has now filed a supplement to his motion to compel. We talked about the motion to compel last week, basically saying, I'm asking that everything be turned over. Well, now Mr. Means has supplemented his declaration, so to speak, as it relates to that motion to compel, and saying, on January 19th, a hard drive with additional discovery, records, documents, recordings, statements, phone calls was mailed to defense counsel John Pryor. But to date, no additional hard drive has been provided to my office. And then Mr. Means goes on and makes a further allegation. This is another incident and action of the state to wrongfully withhold relevant and discoverable evidence in this matter with further obvious obstruction of the defense and the defendant. Mr. Means needs to stop being so over the top, okay? Now, this is the kind of situation where we know that Mark Pryor and Mr. Means are in an office-sharing situation. That's very common in professional situations where somebody rents a space, they rent offices, and they share the common expenses with all the parties. It reduces the cost of overhead. So it would seem to be, if Mr. Means didn't receive discovery, that he could pick up the phone or maybe shoot an email to the prosecutor saying, hey, I haven't received this information yet, this new discovery, this hard drive. What's the status on that? You know, that's the kind of thing that's resolved by the, professionalism in the community of attorneys to get things done. Oh, that's right. Yeah. But when you call people liars and unethical and accuse them of criminal conduct, maybe you're a little gun shy to pick up the phone and actually ask them something. Maybe they won't take your call unless there's a third party witness around. Or maybe they say, just we'll talk to you in court. I've had those types of circumstances with some prosecutors over the years. We're like, you know what? I can't talk with you. I've got trust issues with you. Just talk to me in court on the record. So there's no way about anything about this. But in this particular situation, Mr. Means is the one I think that is being a little over the top. Now, where does it go even more over the top? Is that Mr. Means has filed a motion saying that he cannot meet face to face with his client, Lori Vallow, and the attorney client room basically is small, inadequate, and they have this, what do they call it? Oh, that's right, windows between the defendant and the attorney. Now, we all know this is the first time Mr. Means has done a criminal case. Perhaps this is the first time that he's been to the jail on a case. We must assume so. Well, Mr. Means has attached to his motions various photographs of the circumstances in which he has to work with. Oh my God, let's take a look at this. A glass window between you and the defendant, a telephone that only connects to the phone on the other side so it can't be listened to, and a small uncomfortable stool to sit on. And he shows, you know, the working conditions, how terrible this is. Mr. Means, I'm not sure what you were expecting. Yes, and even being able to have to hold up documents. Actually, this looks like a very large meeting area. Now, Mr. Means complains that this is because of the COVID-19, and therefore, he wants his client to have a cell phone so that Lori Vallow and Mr. Means can speak with each other basically anytime they want about the case. Now, let me tell you this. The court, although the court has great powers, the court has no authority whatsoever to tell the jail how to run their jail. I'm telling you, this room, this situation is not anything unusual. In fact, this is actually pretty large an area to lay out. I have gone to some meetings with clients where we maybe got a little corner in the cafeteria if it was at a prison. If it's at a detention center, literally, it's the size of maybe, on my side, 3x3, just enough room, and you have to turn carefully to sit down and close the door. So I'm not sure what Mr. Means is upset about. This is normal conditions. Get used to it. It's part of the harassment package, Mr. Means. It is what it is. But you don't let it get you down. You simply deal with it and don't let them interfere with your preparation for trial. Now, I'm sure Mr. Means has asked the jail if he could have a cell phone for his client. And I assure you, I'm not going to go on a limb here, but that jail said no. And if he hasn't, he's going to look like a fool when he goes in there and says, "Judge, I want my client to have a cell phone." Cell phones are not permitted in custody for obvious reasons. You can't have people on the outside. They're in custody. Everything is recorded. It's called good order and discipline. So once again, Mr. Means is out spending time, energy, and resources, and I'm talking about dollars, chasing issues that are of no relevance. Maybe he'll get some play. I don't think he's going to. These conditions are what you have to deal with when your client is in custody. It is inconvenient, but you can communicate via the phone, usually during a call on an attorney line that's not monitored. And even if it was monitored, they couldn't use that at trial against you in any way, and they shouldn't record it. If they find out they did record, they should be deleted. But bottom line is, Mr. Means, if you have something of great significance and importance to talk to with your client, you go to the jail so no one's listening. Mr. Means wants the video camera in the attorney-client room also turned off. Even though there's no recording, he wants that turned off. Don't think that's going to happen. The court is not going to tell the jail how to run their jail so that this one inmate, this one defendant, can communicate with her attorney when apparently all the other inmates and all the other attorneys have been able to do it just fine. Mr. Means, I think you are so wrong in this particular case. You're wasting your client's money and you're wasting your time when you should probably be focusing on coming up with a defense for your client. This is all red herring type of stuff. And I hate to say it, this is one of the reasons why I really do not like civil work, because this is the kind of nitpicky BS that civil attorneys come up with. They always want to play some sort of game of gotcha. Criminal stuff is like, here's the evidence, maybe have a motions hearing, well, let's go to trial. This is nonsense. You're not going to wear down the government playing these little games. All this is doing is spending your client's money, wasting your time when you should be preparing for a trial. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. I'm definitely seeing a theme develop here. Yesterday, we had Rinaldo Leonard, who stole an ambulance so that he could go to the Jack in the Box. Well, today we have Joshua Schenker. He's 22. And get this, the police respond to where Mr. Schenker was because apparently he was laying down in the street naked. Apparently, a couple of police officers arrive in their police cars and somebody leaves the door open and the car running. Apparently, Mr. Schenker then dashes from his laying down position in the street while nude, jumps into the police car, and takes off with the police car. It also resulted in a crash, and he's now been charged with theft of a motor vehicle, aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer, and depriving an officer of means of communication or protection, as well as resisting arrest. Definitely a theme where people are taking emergency vehicles this week. So, Mr. Schenker, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. And if you are the winner at the end of the week, you will receive cool Crime Talk merchandise. If you would like cool Crime Talk merchandise, go to the link below. It'll take you right to Teespring. You can print what you want. They'll ship it out to you within a couple of days. It's good stuff. Please join us this evening for our Crime Talk Live. Please join us immediately after that for our Patreon Crime Talk aficionados, as we have a special guest, a death penalty mitigation expert, as well as talking about Chris Watts and why all those alternate theories are going to fail. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.